For more talks and meditations, go to GloriaKGreen.com. Empowering your inner coach. Today, our topic is empowering your inner coach. One of my teachers, Thich Nhat Hanh, said, "You've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens." We all have an inner critic, and it often overshadows our inner coach, making it hard to hear the encouraging voice within us. And so today we're going to talk about shifting the balance to kind of turn down the volume on your inner critic and turn up the volume on your inner coach. And I think there are four things that I've done that have helped me to shift that balance a little bit. The first is learning to embrace feelings of joy, awe, and gratitude. The second is to identify when my inner critic's talking, because a lot of times I was not conscious of all the garbage my inner critic was telling me. And then to learn to manage my inner critic. And then to cultivate my inner coach, to really let the inner coach build its skills. And finally, to let go of those limiting beliefs that have been hanging on and holding me back for years. So embracing feelings of joy, awe, and gratitude. You know, our brains are designed to be Teflon for the good and Velcro for the bad. But we can retrain our brain if we take time to savor the good moments, allow ourselves to experience awe, and maybe even sit with feelings of unconditional love. That connects us with our inner goodness. I feel like we all have an inner goodness, whatever you want to call it, but that inner goodness is often covered up with all sorts of crap we've thrown on there, from different things that we've needed to do to survive, to take care of ourselves, society's expectations, friends, family, all sorts of junk is thrown on there. And I know mine was a big brick wall in front of my inner goodness. And I really had to work to take out even the first brick and the second brick. But as soon as I started doing that, I could see there was goodness inside of me. And if we can't see the goodness inside of us, then it's going to be really hard to turn down the volume on our inner critic. Because our inner critic's going to keep telling us how terrible we are, and we're going to keep believing it. And our inner critic's going to say, "Oh, that's wussy, whatever your inner coach is saying. You don't have to deal with that. You don't believe that. You know, that's no good for you." When in fact, it's very good. So there's three things that I've really worked with. I guess there's four things I've really worked with to help myself take in the good things. And the first practice, which you probably get sick of hearing about, is called taking in the good. And that is just taking time to go. I used to go outside to get the newspaper. I'd look around and see what was good. It might be the breeze on my face. It might be a blue sky. It might be a beautiful tree. And just spend 30 seconds savoring it. And after a few months of doing it, I can tell you I started seeing things that I never saw before, the beauty in life. So you can train your brain to see the good. And that's really important because life is always going to throw stuff at us. But we need the good things in life to give us the strength to deal with all the stuff that gets thrown at us. Another one is to experience awe. How many times do you see a sunset and say, "Oh, that's pretty," and you move on? Instead of saying, "Wow, isn't that amazing?" and allowing yourself time to just sit with it and say, "Wow." You know, a friend of mine became a great grandma on Saturday, and she showed me the picture of the baby today. And it's just like, "Wow, isn't that amazing?" a new life. But a lot of times we'll just say, oh, that's cute, baby, and then get back to the conversation. So allowing ourselves to slow down and take the time to really experience the awe, because you can see awe every place if you really look for it. Practicing gratitude. A lot of us here have a gratitude practice, which I strongly encourage. And the gratitude practice is just writing three things down that you do each day, whether you do it first thing in the morning, that's when I do it. A lot of people like to do it right before they go to bed at night. But just to stop and think about, what am I grateful for? Because so often we let that be Teflon and slip off all the good things. We don't even think about it. But we can really start seeing more and more good things. Now throughout the day, I'll be like, oh cool, I can put that on my gratitude list tonight. And so I'll pay a little bit more attention to it than I would have otherwise. And then the fourth one is practicing loving kindness. And that's a practice where you're sending yourself well wishes. And we'll be doing that in probably the next couple of months. I'm not sure exactly when. So that's the first thing, is just allowing yourself to feel good. The second one is to identify and manage our inner critic. You know, we all feel inadequate or flawed. Anybody here not ever feel inadequate or flawed? Don't see a hand in the room. So we might have a very outwardly neat life, but life is a struggle. And sometimes we don't let anybody see it, and we don't even admit it to ourselves. So our inner critic sometimes is relentless. It magnifies all of our imperfections. You know, when you do something wrong that on a scale of 1 to 10, your friend would tell you, well, that's only a 3 on a scale of 1 to 10. Well, according to your inner critic, it's an 8 or a 9. But it's not really. But it magnifies it. And it makes us question our worth. Am I no good? Am I worthy of love? Am I not enough? So we all struggle with feeling like we're broken, even those of us whose lives look really neat on the outside. And our inner critic would make Einstein look stupid and Mother Teresa look selfish when you think about it. That's how much exaggeration there is. Hal and Sidra Stone explained that our critic sees us as fundamentally flawed and fears that others will reject us. You know, are we really born fundamentally flawed? Well, some of us raised in the Christian tradition may have been taught that. But we're really not fundamentally flawed. We just pick up those flaws as we go, because we think they're going to help us. And this critical voice that we have can overwhelm us. It makes us feel helpless and unworthy. You know, there's times where you feel like, I really should change this. And then you're like, eh, why bother? It's not going to last. I'm not going to be able to do it. And so we feel helpless. And our inner critic is shouting so much louder than our inner coach that we can't make the changes that are good for us. You know, you don't teach a baby to walk by slapping them every time they fall down. You teach a baby to walk by encouraging them every time they make steps toward walking. And so that's what we really need to do for ourselves. The loud voice of our inner critic encourages us to give up control. You'll never be any good enough, so why bother? The way our inner critic talks to us makes us question our ability to learn or to grow. We think, I can never change this. And our critic actually bullies us. I don't know about your critic, my critic bullies me and makes me feel broken and helpless, because there's a lot of scolding, there's a lot of shaming, there's a lot of fault finding. And my inner critic yells and it criticizes, but it never ever has helped me solve a problem. It's just told me I'm a problem. but it's never helped me solve a problem. So you can recognize when your inner critic is active by its harsh and demeaning tone. A lot of times we're so used to it that we don't even recognize our inner critic's talking to us. It's just going on and on. And the way I look at it, our brain is like a circle and there's a line across it. Everything below the line, we are unconscious of, and that's what jerks us around. Everything above the line, we're conscious of, and we can choose how we want to react to it. So my thought about mindfulness is that all we're trying to do is pull that line down lower and lower so we can be aware of all the messages that we're giving ourselves, and then we can choose what we want to do with those messages. You know, you'll notice the inner critic's talking when you have a racing heart, or when you start talking louder and faster, or you feel all this tension in your body. It's a bell of mindfulness to say, hey, the inner critic's talking. Don't blindly believe him. The critic often emerges when you're feeling most vulnerable, and its messages are usually about how you're inadequate or you've been at fault for something. The content is usually a variation of one of these themes. You have no business doing that. You should be perfect at all times. Normal people wouldn't do this. You only have problems because you're bad or you're broken or whatever. And then there's something wrong with you. Think about those messages that we tell ourselves. I can tell you that each one of those I've told myself, and not long ago, but recently. So we really have to look out for our inner critic and see if we can turn the volume down. Because as Rumi says, your task is not to seek for love, but merely to seek and find all the barriers within yourself that you have built against it. So if you don't love yourself, you can't seek love for yourself. But you can look for all the barriers you've built against self-love. And I'll tell you, I had a big brick wall that didn't allow me to love myself. So what I'd like to do is I'll invite the bell and just have you reflect on common messages from your inner critic. We'll just take a couple of moments to do that. Sometimes if we're trying to push it away, what we resist persists. But what the awareness helps us to do is recognize that it's really not helpful. And we recognize it's trying to shame us rather than guide us. And so I often yell at Billy, which is the name of my inner critic. Billy was a boy who was very mean to me in eighth grade. To tell him to leave me alone. But he just keeps up his banter about how I'm not good enough and all of that. So it's really normal to fight your inner critic, but it doesn't necessarily quiet him down. So instead of resisting, which sometimes will strengthen the inner critic, we want to respond with mindful language. So when Billy says something to me about how terrible I am, I might tell him, you know, there's some truth here, but it's exaggerated. We respond back to our inner critic to let him know, you know, let him or her know what's really true. It might say, you know, that's an old message that's no longer valid. You know, someone will tell me I'm shy. Maybe Billy will tell me, oh, you're too shy to do that. Well, that's an old message that's not necessarily valid. I have the courage to reach out to people. I don't have to hide behind being shy. Or I might just say, you know what, that isn't helpful, so I'm not going to listen. That's just not helpful. Or I might say, you know what, yeah, I did make a mistake, but I'll improve next time. I learned something from it. So you can quit beating me up about making a mistake. I'm perfectly imperfect. So we learn to respond to our inner critic. See, the thing is, if we're not aware of our inner critic, we're just reacting and we're letting that story play over and over and over in our head, or that comment. But if we respond mindfully, we don't have to believe the things that our inner critic says. And we don't have to let them influence who we are and what we do and how we think and how we act. And so we want to respond mindfully to let the inner critic know, yeah, I heard you. And I know you're trying to be helpful, but you're not. And so that kind of helps to calm it down just a little bit. But at the same time, we're turning the volume of our inner critic down, we need to be turning up the volume of our inner coach. So we need to cultivate our inner coach. And your inner coach is like a supportive friend who recognizes your potential and accepts your imperfections. And I could tell you right now that my inner coach is really pretty tiny, because I don't always recognize my potential and I don't always accept my imperfections. Your inner coach really promotes a growth mindset, and it really supports your creativity, your resourcefulness, and your resilience. And so it's worth trying to cultivate your inner coach. And the first thing that you need to do to cultivate your inner coach is to reframe your self-talk. You want to note your inner critic's messages and develop some positive, compassionate responses, changing the wording of how you talk to yourself. And can you do this in the moment? Maybe, but I can't. So you want to take some time to think about, what are the things my inner critic's always saying to me, and how can I rephrase them? Because there might be a kernel of truth in there, but you can't hear the kernel of truth when you're being blamed or shamed. You can hear the kernel of truth when you're being criticized constructively. And so you want to take it, and your inner critic's going to tell you, I'm not good enough. And you might just reply with, wow, my inner critic's really active today. That's all you have to say. My inner critic's active. Or, I'm so selfish. You know what? I've given my best today and I'm done. I'm not doing anything more. How many of us, my needs matter as much as my friends? It's not selfish to take care of myself, might be what we say. And sometimes, you know, we have a sluggish day and we tell ourselves, oh, you're just lazy, I'm lazy. And really, I deserve to rest. I can't keep going, because I'll burn myself out. I deserve to rest. And your inner critic's not going to like hearing that. But if you keep saying it over and over, it tones down the I'm lazy. So let's again do a reflection. Didn't think to bring paper, so you'll just do this in your minds. But select a common criticism that your inner critic has been telling you, and develop a positive, nurturing counterstatement that might encourage you to change in a very kind manner. So you want to reframe your self-talk with something that's a little more positive and a little more truthful, because a lot of times the criticism from the inner critic is exaggerated or only has a kernel of truth, or maybe it's out of date and it doesn't relate to you at all anymore. After reframing your self-talk, or maybe while reframing your self-talk, the next thing is to develop self-compassion. And we've talked a lot about self-compassion, treating yourself with the same kindness and understanding you'd offer a friend. If we beat ourselves up with our inner critic, that harsh inner critic, all we're doing is improving our ability to be judgmental and negative. And we all have neural pathways. And if we continue to criticize ourselves, we're just strengthening our judgmental neural pathway. And I don't know about you, but that's not something that I want to do. I want to strengthen my kindness neural pathway. And so I will tell my inner critic, yes, I hear you, but let's not talk to me that way, because that's too judgmental. Let's look at it in a different way. And so to develop self-compassion, you're looking at when you make a mistake or face a setback, you speak to yourself a little more kindly. You actually say, oh, that hurt. Not, oh, you stupid idiot, why'd you do it? But, oh, that hurt. That really makes me feel bad. And acknowledge the situation with understanding and a little bit of patience. And you want to be gentle with yourself, because you are doing the best you can do with the knowledge you have, the skills you have, the experience you have, and the energy you have. And sometimes the best we can do in the moment maybe isn't good enough, but it's still the best we can do in that moment. And then you want to be mindful, aware of your feelings and your judgments, so that it's no more and no less. You know, I said sometimes on a scale of 1 to 10, we make something an 8 when it's really a 3. If we're mindful, we're going to see that it's a 3. And we're going to understand that there's something else that's making it an 8. And so we need to be mindful so that we can be a little more respectful to ourselves and have a more compassionate perspective. And then the third leg of the stool of self-compassion is common humanity. Everybody makes mistakes. Even people whose lives look perfect make mistakes and experience difficulties and have regrets. So you're not alone. Welcome to the human race. We all make mistakes. And then you don't feel so alone, you don't feel so ashamed, and you don't isolate yourself. And if you're a little bit self-compassionate, that really helps you in cultivating a growth mindset. A growth mindset helps you to see challenges as opportunities for learning and for improvement, rather than as obstacles that you have to beat yourself around or through. And that kind of mindset fosters resilience, and it helps your self-belief. So you want to embrace challenges instead of viewing them as obstacles. You want to learn from criticism, not by blindly believing the criticism, but by looking at it and teasing out the fact from the fiction. Because a lot of times criticism hurts because it's exaggerated. But if you can tease out the fact from the fiction, you can learn from it. And then celebrate your efforts. You know, how many of you are celebrating the fact that you're sitting here today? That's effort. That really makes a difference. It will make a difference in your life. And to help with the growth mindset, you need to build inner strength. We talked at the beginning about sitting and allowing unconditional love in. Many of us can't do that. It took me years to be able to do that. But we can build our inner strengths. We all need these inner strengths, and about 1/3 of them are innate, and about 2/3 are developed. And so we want to counter that negative self-talk by wishing ourselves well. And I do have a few copies of the Inner Strength statements I have out on my website. But they're statements that you can say that are not positive affirmations like I'm wonderful, but they're statements that you're wishing yourself well. And at first it might feel awkward, but doing it over and over is going to help you really start wishing yourself well. So there's a number of them on the sheet, but you can make up your own. Maybe you want to say something like, I'm capable of overcoming challenges. Or I trust in my ability to learn and to grow. Whatever you want. The list I have is just a list I developed that I've used at some point or another or felt were good and I might want to use. But saying them to yourself, really focusing in on it, can make a big difference. And you want to do that on a regular basis, maybe spend a 2-week period or a 3-week period really focused on these inner strength phrases, saying them over and over, because just saying them once or twice doesn't counteract the thousands of times a day that your inner critic's telling you different things. And then build a support network. And that's really why Mindful Moments exists. This is our support network, to help each other stay on the path and to help each other begin again and again and again. And then the last step is letting go of limiting beliefs. So if you transform your limiting beliefs into empowering ones, you're going to weaken your inner critic and strengthen your inner coach. So what do I mean by that? Well, my inner critic's always telling me I'm not good enough. And I can change that limiting belief to say, I am perfectly imperfect and I am enough. And I'm starting to believe it, actually. Or my critic always says, you must always be right. You always have to be right. And I've been telling myself, you know what? Relationships matter more than being right. And that's made a difference. Or you must do everything. You got to do everything for everyone. You got to take care of your friends. Their needs are more important than yours. And I've been trying to change that belief to saying having boundaries is okay. You can't do everything for everyone because you just burn yourself out. And so looking at those and just saying, you know, what beliefs are limiting me? It's not okay to ask for help. Anyone feel that one? People enjoy helping me. In the last week, there had been twice where I almost automatically said, no, I'm good. And then I realized people enjoy helping, and I let someone help me. Or my other limiting belief is people won't like me. And my more empowering belief is most people will like me, and I'm okay if they don't. It's not going to hurt me. So there's a lot of strategies we can use to turn up the volume on our inner coach, but it's not a one and done. You can't do each of these things once and be good. Because you've strengthened the neural pathways of your inner critic for how many years? It's going to take time to let those neural pathways atrophy. And then they eventually won't be your automatic response. But you've been ignoring your inner coach for the same number of years. So building up your inner coach is going to take time and consistent effort, much like strengthening your muscles at the gym. So we have to do it over and over and over. And when we forget, we have to begin again and again and again.